Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kicking things off, first 4 weeks, home against the Bengals, road against the Ravens, at home against the Packers, and the road against the Lions. Then, you know, it's out to London to play the Vikings in what's technically a home game before you get going to Pittsburgh on October 12th in week six. Week seven and eight, Dolphins at home, Patriots on the road. Your week nine bye, followed by three games, road against the Jets, home against the Ravens, road against the Raiders, and then you close out the season. Home against the Niners, home against the Titans, on the road against the Bears, and close it out at home against Buffalo, at home against Pittsburgh, and week 18 on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals. Ton of 1 o'clock games, 13 of those confirmed. Two games in the 4 o'clock hour in London, of course, starting at 9:30. I got to know where in this long season we're going to find Shedeur Sanders. And to get that answer, I know right where to go. The North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, where you can find him from 2 to 7, Monday through Friday on Afternoon Drive alongside Nick Wilson. Fellow Shea supporter, as they would put it, Jonathan Peterlin joining us now. What's going on, JP?
The Shea supporter. I love that. I hope you're having a great schedule release day. One of my favorite days of the year in doing the night show, because it's just so much action, and it really... Listen, by the time I get to talk about it at 2 o'clock tomorrow, a lot of people will be like, all right, we get it. We know who they're playing. But like in the moment right now, no such thing as a better time than hanging out with you and being able to discuss this.
Yeah, this is as good as it gets. I'm all for what's happening right now because we get some fast pace, we get some fun radio. But JP, I do have to know, I looked at the schedule. I have my spot picked out for Shedeur and where I think he's starting, but I want to know where for you the Browns turn to Shedeur Sanders in this season.
Okay, love it. Love the question because I do think this impacts the show release of Shedeur Sanders in some ways. Because I don't know that you can throw him into that murderer's row that is the first 5 weeks of the season. First 4 weeks are tougher. I don't think the Vikings are really going to be that good. Well, J.J. McCarthy will tell the story of that. Are they another 14-win team? I just don't buy it. But you're not going to make his debut in London. That would be insane. You're going to give him a London debut? That would be almost punishing. So I'm thinking the week after London would be the right time. I was really rooting for him to win the job and start week one. But you're just not setting him up for success that way. We can let Flacco start. We can let Pickett's. Let them take on the carnage that is that murderer's row schedule. And then after week five, you throw him in week six, coming off the London game. Give him a couple weeks. He hits the bye week to regroup, and then he's off to the races.
I don't hate that spot. I'm not far off from where you are. I think I'm actually a week later. I don't know that what is probably a shortened practice week on some maybe a little bit of jet lag coming back from London, which I think is probably overblown because you get a whole week. But you come back, I think you give Steelers, you don't start them off against Pittsburgh, because I think that's a very dangerous time to go. If you win, it's everything up in the air, and you love Shedeur right off the rip. If you lose, I don't think everyone's throwing him to the wolves, but not entirely happy. I like Miami, too. Not a star defense.
What I love about going up against the Steelers in that spot, a couple things. One, doesn't matter if it's Aaron Rodgers, doesn't matter if it's Mason Rudolph, doesn't matter if it's Jesus Christ. Steelers can't score points. They're a great defense, so that's going to make it tougher for Shedeur, but he's not going to be asked to score 30 points to win that game, and there's nothing Browns fans love more than beating the Steelers. So even if you have some doubters, you win that game against the Steelers, and then all of a sudden you got a lot of people that are supporters.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think either spot's a good spot. I think realistically you could also be looking after the bye, but I also think week 10's probably
That might just be too late. Exactly right. Like, you need to, if you start Flacco or Pickett, you need to be able to give whatever quarterback comes in back of that enough time to be able to have a chance to sink or swim. And if they swim, then you got to have enough chance for the guy in back of that to have a real shot as well. So let's say it's Dylan Gabriel, and Gabriel goes from week 6, and then he's out by week 11. Is 6 weeks enough time for Shador Sanders? Probably. But the further and further you go, 13, 14, week 15, let's say he looks good, then all of a sudden you have to figure out, well, wait, is he our quarterback, or do we have to draft a quarterback? And that might be too small of a sample size.
Yeah, I think that I don't want to wait until that long. I think that is too small, because you need to decide, am I taking a quarterback in the first round or not? So I don't want to put it all the way back there. And I think it's a really good spot sort of in that back half of the schedule as well. I think the back half of the season's honestly a lot easier than the front half of the season, and it's not particularly close. But I just think that's a solid spot. JP, I also look around. I deemed my hardest part of the schedule as weeks 3 through 5. Sounds like you're on board at least, you know, or 2 through 5. You can roll with the Ravens as well. Where for you, though, is the easiest part of the schedule?
I think it's got to be in the back half. Not obviously before. You got to get to the Bears and the Bills. There's a low-key stretch there, depending what you think about the 49ers. And I think the 49ers are more cooked than they're on the rise at this point. There's a low-key 5-game stretch sandwiched in between where you can really chalk up some W's if this team is worth anything. That's the one I would attack. There's no soft spots. Years past, we've seen just complete 4 or 5-game soft spots. That doesn't exist. But that 5-game stretch, depending on what you think about the 49ers, that's the one I would go with, Jake.
All right, JP, you did this multiple years when it was overtime with Jonathan Peterlin. I know you know the schedule game well. Put a number on it. How many wins do the Browns have now seeing the schedule in your hands?
I think the first 5 weeks is so disastrous. I hate that for the – I really do. I hate that for the Browns. This is looking at like 5 or 6 wins, dependent on if Shador plays or not, though. If it's Shador, we reserve the right to bump this up as always. Now, have you discussed the Browns release video at all?
I have not, and I know that you love those. I know that was also something you focused on. Now, it was really weird. It was like the time warp back and forth.
Well, so I thought the time part of it was actually a nod to Shador. You know, wrist up, He's got the time, he's got the watch going on. Like, I thought that was almost paying homage to Shador. But, like, last year you go with Pete Weber and a bowling theme, which is, of course, like, blue collar. That's Cleveland. I'm a bowler myself. Like, I didn't relate to anything more. In fact, I bowled in the league against Pete Weber. I actually know Pete Weber's daughter. Like, it was so relatable in so many different ways, and it made sense. What was this, like, I art-inspired meta, we're taking this to another level. What was this? This was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. It didn't even go in sequence of the actual weeks that were announced. It was a hodgepodge of a social media guy trying to show off all the cool little tricks they learned. And that's not what this is about, Jake. Not in the slightest bit. The Browns social media, which I think tends to do a pretty good job, you get an F- here. What a miserable job this was.
Yeah, I thought some of the things they did were cool, but it definitely, yeah, the out of order thing threw me off, and I was not a fan. I was not a fan either, JP. No. I was not for it.
No, and like, there's some cool ones out there. I'll give credit to some different teams. And I get it. It's tough to be original. But that wasn't original in a good way. No part of that screamed Cleveland in the slightest bit. And absolute stinker. Didn't ruin a great night. Schedule night's always great. But it certainly wasn't great, Jake.
Yeah, I got to find a couple more of these, because I've seen the Ravens and Bengals, and I had to watch them without sound as we were going through because they're multiple minutes long. Also wasn't very impressed by either of those. High production for the Ravens, but it's like a half TV show of 7 minutes. And I haven't found a good one, but I'm looking for them. I'm going to be looking.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers always do good. But who's got the time? 7 minutes? Right. Ravens, this is 2025. I don't have 7 minutes for anything, nonetheless a scheduled release.
Far too long. JP, I appreciate you hopping on. Of course, you can catch your reaction from 2 to 7 tomorrow alongside Nick, which I'm sure will be, even you say it's a little late, maybe people are over by it, I'm sure it'll be incredible all the well.
Thanks, Jake. Have fun tonight.
Yep, enjoy your show tomorrow. JP, Jonathan Peterlin there with us. Good stuff out of JP, but we got to keep the train rolling. And I love what he had to say about Shador. We're on the same page. It's good to see two Shador supporters in the same spot, but Browns kick things off against the Bengals in week one. So what better? I'm talking to a man who covers the Cincinnati Bengals over there on SI. Let's go right back to the Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Formerly of the station, with now James Rapine joining us. James, what's going on?
Not much. Any excuse Jonathan has to talk about bowling, he's going to talk about it, how he was a professional bowler. Man, I thought it was 2020 all over again, 2019, hearing about Jonathan and his professional bowling career. I appreciate you having me, but that took me back.
Right back to it, right? I mean, we went full Pete Weber, and there were just little drops, little drops from JP. I know his daughter. I bowled in the league with him. Little slight nods to him. He got to mention it. He always finds a way.
If he said, who do you think you are? I am. Well, then I might have hung up. But he didn't do that. He didn't go full Pete Weber. So we're good to go for sure.
Definitely in a good spot. It's really fun, James, because last year it felt like we waited so long to get AFC North play, at least as Browns fans. Everything felt like it was tucked middle to late in the season. This year the Browns kick it off 2 weeks in a row, Bengals, Ravens, and obviously the one we're highlighting here, Cincinnati to kick off the season in Cleveland. Now, it's May, and I can't predict a Browns loss week one. So, of course, they went Browns win in week one. Realistic chances there. Do the Bengals love a week one spot against the Browns, or is this a sneaky, scary game for them?
No, I think it's the second one. And it's certainly for fans, put it that way. Deep down, I mean, the Bengals as players, as competitors, they're it doesn't really matter, right? They're going to be ready to go in their minds, and just like the Browns will be. But I do think that fans, it wasn't long ago that the Bengals went up there at the start of the 2023 season. Joe Burrow couldn't move on that calf that he had injured in training camp, and they lost 24-3. And it was one of the ugliest offensive performances of the Joe Burrow era. So I think that's fresh on fans' minds, and the reaction as the news started to trickle out that Cleveland game was really going to happen. I think people are like, oh, that sucks. At the same time, I think it's certainly a winnable game. It's a game where there's a lot of question marks on the Browns from a quarterback standpoint. Feels like it's going to be the veteran early from my point of view here in Cincinnati, but you never know if it'll be Flacco or not. No, Pickett isn't probably considered a veteran, at least in my eyes. So I think that part of it's interesting, and then obviously just an opportunity to get to 1-0 in the division and start 1-0 after the slow starts the Bengals have had. It's a huge game for them, even though it's against a division rival on the road. It's one that you definitely have to get.
Yeah, the other game obviously coming against the Browns, Week 18. I feel like this commonly happens in the NFL, where somehow you end your season against a divisional opponent. And maybe for some divisions, they feel that doesn't matter. For the AFC North, I almost feel like you get robbed of a really good game, because the AFC North is always a wild card. And then you stick it in Week 18 where, on either side of the coin, the Browns probably on the lower side, and hey, we're not really competing in this week. And the Bengals on, if they make the improvements they need to, could be looking at a playoff spot and already guaranteed by that week. And you're just not getting, you're eliminating entirely a divisional game that should matter.
Yeah, I was thinking about that game, and it's like, all right, well, let's play quarterback roulette. Who's going to be starting? Like, can Joe sit because they're going into the playoffs? Has Fedor Sanders sparked the Browns, and are they playing for a playoff spot to secure a berth? By the way, I do think he's the best rookie quarterback on the roster, so there's three Shador supporters on this station within 10 minutes or so of each other. No idea why you would waste a third-round pick on anyways.
Right there with you. Don't worry.
Yeah, ridiculous. Just take Sanders there and be done with it. But I will say, yeah, I think that game is going to be really tough. Everyone's going to do the game-by-game predictions. What do these teams look like? I think that's a huge part of it. Is the Bengals' defense better under Al Golden? Have things smoothed out from a Trey Hendrickson standpoint where, regardless of who's at quarterback for the Browns, that you're confident in the Bengals' defense? Or is it the other way where the Bengals can't stop anyone and the Browns have found some sparks on offense to be competitive? I think that's you can name 1,000 different scenarios for that Week 18 game for sure.
Most definitely. James, I'll get you out of here on this one. As you look at the first few weeks of the schedule, really, I mean, the first 9 weeks leading up to the bye for the Bengals, It feels like, aside from the Browns week one, you have a lot of coin flips in teams as well. Around there, you're going to see Travis Hunter and the Jacksonville Jaguars week two. And then you go on the road, Minnesota, Denver, back home for Detroit, on the road, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, Jets, Chicago. A lot of teams that could either, you know, be really good or fall really short of expectations. Does it feel like a dangerous start for Cincinnati fans?
It does. For me, I will say that. I haven't pulled fans on the schedule yet. But in general, I think some are going to look and say, oh, well, Cleveland and Jacksonville, like you should be able to. And it's like, yeah, but it's road Cleveland. I know how Browns fans are, especially week one. There's going to be plenty of hope. One of the quarterbacks is going to have snagged that job. And man, the trenches, the moment they traded down from the Travis Hunter pick, I know you're not asking me for Browns analysis, but I'm like, oh, man, they're going to take Mason Graham and pair him with Myles Garrett, and it's going to make life hell on Joe Burrow. And it's really tough for Joe in this Bengals offense already because they throw the ball so much against a Browns defense that can get after him. So it's a really tough game. And then the uncertainty around a Jacksonville team that's going to have a new coach, may have two wide receiver ones by then. I think people have kind of buried Trevor Lawrence, but he's a really talented quarterback. That is a tough start to the season, and it's going to be tough. They're all tough because you just never know. With the unknowns part of it early on in the year, you think about Jaden Daniels last year and the coming out party he had in week three against the Bengals at Paycor Stadium, and now it's like, oh, well, yeah, Jaden Daniels is a star. But that night it was like, oh, my God, like I can't believe the Bengals couldn't get off the field and stop him at least once. And so there is some of that, I think, especially with that week two matchup because Jacksonville – could be sneaky good and be one of those dark horse AFC teams, much like the Browns, really, because outside of quarterback, I think the Browns have a lot of talent.
Most definitely. James, good to see your insight. I look forward to hopefully talking sometime before week one as we get into a really exciting start to a 2025 season in the AFC North.
Yep. Sounds good to me. I appreciate you having me.
Yep. Appreciate you, James. James Rapine there of Cincinnati Bengals on SI. Make sure you check out his work, of course, with formerly 92.3 The Fan. All right. Let's quick hit a break. When we come on back, we'll talk to our very own Jeff Phelps, his thoughts on the schedule. We'll get more into maybe some Shador stuff here as well. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
With you guys on The Fan. We're having a good time doing it. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. And as we continue to get opinions, it sounds like a good time to go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can hear him at 10 to 2 Monday through Friday. I'm Baskin and Phelps. It's the other half. We talked to Andy earlier. Let's talk to Jeff Phelps. Jeff, what's going on?
Jake, how are you, buddy?
We are in an absolute hectic mode, Jeff. We've talked to just about everybody under the sun so far and are continuing to talk to more and more.
Because you're busily making plans for September and October. That's great. I'm very happy for you.
Now, I don't know that we're, plenty of plans, plenty of plans. We're basically scheduling guests for 6 months out. It's a good time.
That's great.
But, Jeff, we finally get to lay our eyes on the schedule. And we go through and sort of look at it. I see a lot of the fan reaction just on our social medias and everything else being very negative. Browns aren't going to win a ton of games, blah, blah, blah. The same thing as we've known the opponents for a long time to come here. I actually thought the Browns got a pretty favorable pull in terms of where a lot of these games landed, other than the very beginning of the season. Do you feel the same way?
I looked at the schedule and I thought, oh, Cincinnati to start. Okay, I see that. At Baltimore, oh, all right. Back home against Green Bay, ooh. At Detroit, uh-oh. London, Minnesota, at Pittsburgh, And I thought, oh, okay, that's no way to start. First six games against teams that had winning records last season, and five of them won 10 or more games. That's not what you're looking for if you're a 3-14 team. We know those teams were on the schedule, but it sure would have been nice maybe if you were able to get, and not that the Browns have an easy schedule, period, but if you could have picked up, oh, let's just say Tennessee, Chicago, early on, who you're ending up playing in December, that might have helped a little bit. The Browns are going to have to come out hot, good, prepared, ready to go, because those first six games, Jake, those are tough. And then even after that, you get Miami and New England. And those are a couple of teams that, you know, they could be sneaky good next year. You never know. So I think it's a real challenge right away for the Browns.
Yeah, I think the early part's definitely tough. And obviously, Jeff, the Browns are never going to tell us that, you know, this is more of an evaluation year and they're going to go out there and they're going to try to win football games. But if at some point this year, as I think a lot of us expect them to do, start to evaluate rookie quarterbacks, given the fact that they drafted two, I would say going through and getting a lot of those teams out of the way early, where you're probably more than likely playing a veteran quarterback, whether that be Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett, does allow for maybe a little bit more gracious evaluation of some younger quarterbacks later on, no?
So in other words, you're saying they're going to lose early, Jake. Is that what you're saying?
There's a good chance of that. Yeah, I did my little schedule game, and I think I put them on 2-6 to start the season.
Okay. Well, with that thought in mind, bring on Dylan Gabriel. could be. You know, the weird thing about the NFL, and I'm not saying this is going to happen to the Browns. You see teams that have big swings every year. And you know, think about the Browns. 2 years ago, won 11 games. Last year, won 3. You know, could the Browns bounce back and be pretty good this year? Sure. Do you think it's likely? No. Do I think it's likely? No. Not especially not with this first six game start. You know, I hate to put the numbers, you know, and think, okay, they win that game, blah, 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 blah. If they went 3-3 in the first six, we should have a parade, because those are pretty good teams that they're playing in the first six games. When I was looking at everything, I thought, man, I don't like the way this stacks up. And I went to the NFL, NFL.com, and Eric Edholm is a guest on our show. Eric's been with us multiple times over the years. And the headline on his story when he released it says, 2025 NFL schedule, Lions, Browns among seven teams with the toughest 17-game schedules. And I thought, okay, that's not what the Browns really need. And he has the Browns, and it's not based on winning percentage of last year's opponents. Eric's really sharp. He based it on expectations of who's on the schedule and how the games are going to play out and everything else. He has the Browns with the third toughest schedule in the NFL. And that's not exactly what you need going into this thing. Now, we knew they were going to play those teams, Jake. I just hate the way it stacks up in the first six games.
Yeah, it's not going to be a pretty start, no matter who's out there at quarterback. A lot of offenses in that stretch that are going to be very good.
You never know, though. Let's be fair. That's fair. Never know. But, boy, it is going to be a challenge.
Most definitely will be. Jeff, I'll get you out of here with this. As we go through and we look at the schedule and you've had your chance to evaluate it, maybe a little early spoiler, do we come out with a number of wins, a small prediction for the Browns?
If they could finish above 500, that means 9 wins, I think we'd all be impressed. I would say somewhere in the range of 6 to 9 wins, something like that.
Okay, I like it.
And hoping for 9,
Yeah.
Thinking maybe six is more realistic, but you know, you never know. I'm still looking for some wide receivers, and I'm still wondering who is going to be a quarterback, and I'm wondering if that guy can be a winning NFL quarterback.
Jeff, believe it or not,
there are a lot of questions.
Yeah, believe it or not, you're one of the more optimistic people that we've talked to today, just across all of our hosts, going 6-9 wins. I landed at 7.
Surprise me.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate you, and people should obviously be looking forward to you guys talking from 10 to 2 tomorrow and breaking it down yourself as well.
All right, Jake, good to be with you.
Yep, good talking to Jeff Phelps there. Again, you can hear him, Baskin and Phelps, 10 to 2 tomorrow right here on The Fan. Well, we talked to Jeff Phelps. Why not go out and continue the conversation? Why talk to one Jeff when he can talk to two? Let's go back out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sports director over at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Help breaking down the way it stacks up the Steelers schedule, the Browns schedule, how they align. Jeff Hathorn joining us now. Jeff, what's going on?
Honored to be a part of Jeff Hour.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're a pack. You're going back to back. Jeff Phelps to Jeff Hathorn. I mean, that's a combo that people are going to put in the history books, no doubt.
Yes. I don't know what history book, but one of them.
There's going to be a book out there that has this down. It might be me who has to write it, but we're going to get it into a published book. I'm going to make sure it's hardback and all.
Depending on how the segment goes, it could be on Twitter or X.
I would imagine that it probably will be in some capacity. All right, we go through and we look at the schedule and where things line up. We'll start with the first time Cleveland and Pittsburgh go and face each other. It'll be week 6, and the Browns will be coming off of a game in London against Minnesota. How much of an advantage do you think that gives the Steelers with two teams that we're realistically looking at and going, who's going to be playing quarterback by then? None of us know.
Isn't that the truth? And they'll be coming off a common opponent, at least. Both will have played Minnesota previously in their you know, game before that. I think there was an anticipation or a hope for a Kenny Pickett week 1 in Pittsburgh type scenario. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but it could happen in week 6. I don't know who, to your point, I don't know who the Steelers quarterback is going to be, but from a Steelers standpoint, I'll say this. Last year, they didn't get their first division game until mid-November. So they had to wait that long to play in the division. So I think there's a little thrill with Steeler fans that they're playing a division game. But then they go from playing Cleveland. They come off the bye week, come back from Ireland, they play Cleveland, and then 4 days later, they're at Cincinnati. So they kind of get right back in it.
Yeah, it definitely makes for a bit of a tough schedule. Hey, Jeff, even going through and looking at the start of the schedule, it was very similar to the way that I just looked at the Bengals, and I go, oh, it's a lot of coin flip teams. They could be good, could just be one of the bigger question marks. Steelers start off Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, Vikings, which might be that exact definition. All those teams might be an exact coin flip, but week 1 going up against Justin Fields, clearly intentional by the NFL. Do we like it? Do we not like it?
I like it. I mean, I really like Justin Fields, and I think I know him well enough just from the little time he was here. He's going to have that chip right on the shoulder that the Steelers didn't think enough of him to make him their quarterback this year, that they thought, well, this guy can't start in the NFL. He's going to be raring to go. And if the Steelers sign Aaron Rodgers, you can imagine what that crowd is going to be like in New York for a guy who never produced but got a lot of money to play in New York. I mean, that's going to be an awesome matchup. And week 2 is another revenge game with DK Metcalf kind of leaving on weird terms with Seattle. That's going to be at home. And then you mentioned coin flip. And I think New England might be the most improved team in the AFC this year. Like, they've redone their roster. If Drake May is the real deal, that's going to be tough. And then you play Minnesota. I don't know what McCarthy's going to be a quarterback, but they're a loaded team. So, yeah. I agree with that. I mean, you look at that schedule and it's like, okay, they could win, but you know, they could lose any of these games. I don't have high optimism for what the Steelers are going to do this year overall.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the exact same spot with the Browns, as you can imagine. Low optimism across the board. But yeah, like, you could tell me the Steelers start 4-0 or 0-4 in that stretch, and I'd be like, there's a chance on that. Probably a better shot that they go like 2-2, 1-3, 3-1, somewhere in the in-between ranges, but I can imagine it either way if things fall on one side or the other. Better off than the Browns, though. I got them starting at like 2-6. We have the dangerous start, and that's me being generous and giving them a week one win against the Bengals.
Well, and I will say this too, another oddity with the Steelers schedule. They have one home game in September and only one home game in December. It's just kind of odd how these schedules kind of play out. But I do like this, what the NFL has done, is having the final 2 weeks of the season be AFC North teams. Like, that's pretty awesome, because it could come down to something. Even if it doesn't, it's a rivalry game. I do appreciate, with all the weird stuff that goes on with the scheduling, I like that the last 2 weeks are against, you know, AFC North foes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think it goes one way or the other. You'll either get stolen of an AFC North game, or you get something that's obviously, it could be for absolute history, just watching and going through and looking like you played Baltimore week 18. That could be a shot for the playoffs for the Steelers, knowing how those seasons always go down, finishing right around 500. And the Ravens could be jockeying for playoff position just the same. So definitely could lead to something interesting. Jeff, I'll get you out of here on this one. We focus so much on the schedule release, and one of those main reasons is, well, obviously you get to know who you play, but you also get to figure out the week that you're not playing and what those stretch of games look like before and after. It's like my least favorite scenario, what the Steelers got put into right now, which is that early week five bye. Is a team like the Steelers going to struggle to play, you know, that backstretch of games that last 13 straight?
Well, and last year they had that stretch where they had three games in 12 days, which was really tough. And they played the Eagles, Ravens, and Chiefs in that stretch. So you look at this and it's like, okay, that's not as bad as that. But the Steelers actually did ask the NFL to not have the bye after their international trip. But obviously, they did not comply with their wish, and they do have that early bye. It's great for us to cover the team, because that's a good golf weekend. Weather's still going to be nice. You can do a lot of things. But for the team itself to have that early bye is rough, because you get into that second half of the season and there are no breaks. And there are also no late Thursday night games where you get that mini bye, at least not on the schedule right now. So there's not that, you know, sneak weekend where you can – you know, get a few days off. I mean, they're going to be tested from a health standpoint in the second half. Not just a health standpoint, is this, we'll find out what the Steelers' depth is, because obviously during that stretch, they're going to lose some people. What are the guys behind them going to do in those situations?
Most definitely. Jeff, I know I said I'd get you out of here. I'll throw you one quick one. It can be a one-word answer.
Cool.
We like to play the schedule game. Everyone likes to figure out, all right, we're in May. How many wins do they get? Not knowing who's going to be at quarterback. Let's say it is Aaron Rodgers. Do you have a number of wins you give the Steelers this year?
9-8.
All right.
It's what the Steelers do. not much more, not much less. It's just barely above 500.
That seems very fitting. A very Mike Tomlin of them to finish out that way.
All right. Very much.
Jeff, I appreciate you setting aside the time. Good talking to you, and I'll look forward to talking to you at some point this season, probably when one of those Browns and Steelers games start to roll around.
Yep, we'll tell you, it'll be here before we know it. Thanks, man.
Yep, absolutely. Jeff Hathorn, 93.7 The Fan, sports director out there in Pittsburgh. Always good to talk to him. Let's get to a break here, though, because coming up in 5 minutes, we'll talk to one of our very own once again, wrapping up the extravaganza the way it should be. Nick Wilson, Afternoon Drive, going to join.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Join us on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. We got to go out one final time to the Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to some what they would call the best closer of guests in all of the sports radio world. The 2024 Emmanuel Clase, if you would. Scott, the man that you can hear from 2 to 7 Monday through Friday on Afternoon Drive, Nick Wilson, joining us now. What's going on, Nick?
I'd like to make it clear, I'm the 2024 regular season Emmanuel Clase as the closer here. I will not be serving up meatballs to Giancarlo Stanton tonight.
Okay, good to know. It's been noted, Juan Soto not in the building tonight, Giancarlo not there, Aaron Judge, it wouldn't matter because he can't perform.
In fairness, though, I mean, Soto, he was so shaken by Class A's lack of dominance that he just had to leave New York. Okay, had to leave the Yankees.
Yeah, they still decided to stay in the city. But, yeah, I mean, they got that out of the way at least. I mean, Class A, he definitely won that battle. Won that battle. Might not have won it for the Guardians, but got him away from the Yankees. Congratulations.
Won like an emotional battle or a metaphorical battle, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there was something there. He definitely didn't win the emotional one, I'll tell you that. Anything mental, he did not win that.
Or the literal battle.
And he definitely lost. But, Nick, we do have a Brown schedule for the 2025 season in front of us. What week have you honed in on as you think the week – it's the same question I asked JP, where you see a rookie quarterback. Of course, I framed it to JP as Shador, but I'll throw Dylan Gabriel into the mix for you as well.
I'm gonna go probably week seven.
We're aligned.
You give Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett time to get the crap kicked out of them by the great teams. And then once you face the Dolphins, who might honestly – the Dolphins aren't a good team. I mean, I don't think they've gotten any better. I still don't think they can defend. So, throw them out there. Mike McDaniel could be on the hot seat by then. I think that or the Patriots game the week after. I should have just said after the bye because it's the Jets, and the Jets are always – I'm going to change my answer now. I'm going to go with the Jets week 10 after the bye, even though I think we all know it's going to be a hell of a lot earlier than that.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably just somewhat too late, but it makes sense. One of the other things that we always get from this this just schedule release day in general are now these high production videos that all the teams put out in order to release the schedule. JP and I were also aligned in thinking that the Browns just sort of missed the test and missed the ball with this one. I didn't understand the Browns one at all. Did you get to see it?
I did not. I did not get to see anybody's, and I actually kind of avoided them today because I think we've gotten to a point where everyone's trying to outdo themselves. It's like a Marvel movie. At some point, these things stop making sense.
Yeah, it was downright bad, Nick. You're going to have to watch it. I mean, JP's like, maybe they did an homage to Shador because it's an entire time thing where it's like, hey, it's time lapses. But hey, he was right. It looks like an intern went in and they're like, look at all the cool things that I can do on like a Adobe Premiere. Hey, enjoy. And it was not good. The weeks are out of order. Not fun.
Well, maybe the same guy is the guy that did the renderings for the lakefront touch-up, right? Like, and didn't have the common courtesy to add fireworks. Hopefully, whoever did the schedule release video had the common courtesy to put some fireworks in there somewhere.
We know that if you would have made it, you would have had the fireworks, Nick. You'd have had the fireworks rolling from top to bottom.
Listen, when people think Nick Wilson, they think fireworks.
This is true. First thing, if I played a name game and somebody said Nick Wilson, first thing that came to mind would have been fireworks.
Yeah, definitely no other F word that would come to mind that like speaks to like my health or my weight or anything like that.
No, certainly not. Nobody's ever thought that at all, and definitely not on not on our social medias today in the slightest, in which they used two of them, and it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But I've also looked at, and just looking up and down, Nick, the I thought that it was actually a good schedule release in which we've gotten the way that it played out for the Browns. I've gotten both things from our hosts across the station that liked it, that didn't like it. I'm actually a fan of the way that the schedule played out and the fact that I think it allows you to evaluate young quarterbacks well with lesser defenses later on in the year, but a really tough schedule to start. Do you like that format, or would you rather have maybe some momentum and positivity in the beginning of the year?
I mean, listen, I think if you're going to do more than 3-14, a quick start to the season was going to be necessary, because there's a chance with, you know, I think Kevin's in a precarious situation with that locker room, because it's a lot of the same guys. Going into year six, if the message doesn't hit right, or if you start slow, it's just getting harder and harder to kind of pull up out of that. So I almost think it's, if you're Kevin and you're trying to get some cheap wins early to build some confidence, I think that's what makes it tough. And so I think that puts a lot of pressure on them. And, like, listen, I know Jimmy says, you know, hey, these are my guys. They're still the Haslams. This is still the first time that they haven't just fired everybody. So you add that to the precarious situation the roster's in, and I think it does put Kevin behind the eight ball just a little bit here. Now, in the end, I almost wish that you had had a better balance of defenses late in the year, because, I mean, I think we've seen inferior quarterbacks thrive and maybe give a false image against inferior defenses. So that's kind of where my head's at. Like, you know, I would almost rather see whatever rookie quarterback, if that's how this thing goes, if they don't start right out of the gate, if they handle the last eight games of the season, I almost would wish they were against better defenses so you get a better test for them and maybe a more accurate picture of who they are.
Yeah, I think it's a fair evaluation. I mean, maybe a little too soft laid on, but I imagine that if you turn it over to either of these guys, NFL-caliber quarterbacks, don't know that I trust this offense and any of them to actually go put up big wins, even against bad defenses, though. But, well, you do run into a slight problem with it. I do understand.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know the NFL can tell you in much more clearer terms what they think of the Browns right now than giving them the hardest schedule in the NFL. And look at the name: Bengals, Ravens, Packers, Lions, Vikings, Steelers, Dolphins, Ravens. We'll see about the 49ers, Bills, Steelers, Bengals. Like, there's a lot of playoff teams and maybe a couple other potential playoff teams on the schedule, and they didn't give you a single primetime game. That means they're like, man, we got to get another day. We got to get another game where the Lions are in prime time this year. Okay, but not the Browns. And then they did that with every other team. I think that's really, really telling about what the schedule makers think about, the Browns going into the season.
Yeah, I think very clear and apparent there, Nick. I'll get you out of here by asking you, we all love the schedule game so very much, so very dearly to our hearts. If you go through and you play it, how many wins do you come out with the Browns this year?
Two.
By far the lowest.
Week 14, and where was the other one that I had? Oh, I think it was the Jets, week 10.
I also, I think, had both those marked down as wins. I got all the way up to 7. I've convinced myself, and very generously, a very optimistic 7 is what I've labeled it. But
were you, wait, real quick, were you huffing paint when doing this? Because that would explain it.
No, I did not. We were on the air, so that is left for off the air activity.
People have huffed paint on the air. It was called the 80s, Jake. All right. It was before you were born.
Yeah, that is. And they huffed a lot more than paint, I assume, but.
I mean, it was everything. It was kind of like a party. It was like a smorgasbord of things you can't do anymore.
Oh, geez. Nick, I hope that somehow, some way, they don't end up with 2 wins. I'm going to guess probably somewhere between our two predictions, but not a pretty season ahead of us. That's all right.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to huff some paint.
Okay.
I got some out in the garage. And then I'm going to retabulate the wins and losses. And I'll see if I get to 7. And then If we both have paint and we got to 7 wins, then maybe we're on to something.
I think that we could probably convince Kevin Stefanski and crew to do the same. Maybe it'll get them to 7 wins.
That I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Huff huff pass is going to get you where you want to go this year.
Got just about as good a chance as Ron out there completely sober.
Hey. Hey. Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought we'd be here?
All right. Good stuff, Nick. Of course, people can listen to you 2-7 to break down why you think it's 2 wins going in tomorrow. I look forward to listening as well.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you.
Yep, Nick Wilson there, Afternoon Drive. Again, listen to him 2-7 tomorrow to get his thoughts as well. We'll be back here coming up in 5. Let's talk more Browns. I want to talk Shador Sanders. I asked Nick, I asked JP, I asked a couple other people where you land on him starting or even a rookie quarterback. Could it be Dylan Gabriel? Break down why I think it is where it is on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with you guys right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.